All right, it is 10:02. Let's get started. So, team, I got a really, really special friend of mine, Bobby Joyner, is going to be joining us today and having the message for us this morning. And I'd like to, so Bobby and I have known each other for a long time. Bobby's the tour pastor for Winter Jam, and we have known each other quite a while. Bobby's got a lot of musical ability himself and has been in bands most of his life. Just like the rest of us, there was a time in Bobby's life when he was a heathen, just like all of us have been at one point in our life. And then Bobby found the Lord and straightened him out. And he's just got a wonderful family who we're all very close to. But just to ask him to spend a little time with us this morning sharing. So I'm going to turn it over to Bobby. Bobby, if you would lead us this morning.
Well, hey, JJ, nice to hear you again. And I know all of you that work with FAR or associated with JJ and his family, y'all are blessed. I was blessed when I met him. And like he said, it hit me. I was actually received Christ as my Savior as a 12-year-old kid in the middle of a big musical festival there, a religious Billy Graham festival. But I went over there not to find the Lord. I went over there to hear the music. And it's so funny how God has used music, as he's using a lot of things in your life, a lot of the things that you're really, he knows our heart's desires, and he knew how much I love music because he's the one who gifted me with the music. So he's used music all my life. And right now, in the midst of all this corona mess, he's using each one of you and some things in your life to just simply do what he did to me that night. He drew me over there to just say I needed to quit running from him and come to him. And that's what this whole situation is. Let's get started with a word of prayer. Prayer is just simply talking to our Father. And in fact, the last book I wrote, I've written four devotion books, and they're all 40-day devotion books where I just basically, it changed my life over 44 years ago when my wife, God bless her little heart, we were both saved, going to church for all the wrong reasons. We were just confused, deceived by religion. And finally, she got into an independent Bible study and began studying the Word of God every day. And she didn't beat me in the head with the Bible and make me start doing it. She just slowly changed. And for all of you, that there's a big difference between Christianity and religion. Christianity is when Christ is received into the soul by faith, whereas religion is man by man's own efforts, just trying to win the approbation and the approval and blessings of God by working. What we can do with what we don't do, being good. All this is religion. And now we should be good, but the motive is we're good because God is perfect. And so let's get started by just calling our Heavenly Father and talking to him. Okay, Father, me and my brothers and sisters here, probably maybe some even people that don't know you as Father. They know you as God, but have never received by faith Christ. But you're hearing, you're listening to each one of us. And right now, we just want to start by doing what your Bible says, what your word, your love letter says. We enter into your courts with thanksgiving and praise. And yes, Father, we're in trouble, financially, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. We're hurting. But you have blessed us. Our blessings far outnumber our cursings and our painful times. And we enter into your courts with thanksgiving and praise. And we want to thank you for all that you've done for us. And it all began that moment we received Christ as our Savior. That's when our new life began. And what's so neat is it's like JJ and I were talking, Father, is that we're going to be spending eternity with you, forever with each other. But you mean for us to actually start enjoying our eternal life here on this earth, even amidst the this trial and tribulation that we're going through right now. I know you created and designed hurricanes, and I love the eye of the hurricane, because that's where we Christians are supposed to live, in the eye of the hurricane. The storm's all around us, but we have peace. We have a quietness when we just stop and relax and become still with you. And right now, what I ask you to do is speak to me and through me, because I don't know these people that are listening, but I know that you know them, and you know exactly what they need to hear from you, and just as you know what I need. So speak to me and through me and for me, and then may your spirit take what I'm saying, and that it just be real to each one of these people that are listening. So, Father, when this corona thing is over, and it will be, it's just another hurricane that's going to come. We're going to have another one, and then we're going to have another one. But one day we're going to finally leave this world. And you said, in this world we will, not we might, we will have trouble, but for us to be of good cheer and have joy because you have overcome the world. So we're here to talk about you. And we pray this in the only name that has ever counted, the only name you stop and listen to is when people come to you in Jesus' name. That's who we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, y'all, as JJ said, I've been so blessed for 15 years to be the tour pastor for Winter Jam. And if you all have never seen Winter Jam, you need to come see one. We basically do what the Bible says, and that is take the message of the gospel that Jesus Christ loves us, loves sinners, not good people. Jesus died for sinners. And we've taken that message and put it to music and just gone all over the world telling people about Jesus. But the music is what draws us and draws the people. For several years there, we were the number one, the largest music concert in the world. And the reason people were coming were not necessarily hear about God, but to hear the music. But right there in the middle of the music, the Spirit of God just comes and orchestrates salvation. We always have someone present salvation. So that's what Winter Jam's about. And I began to do that 15 years ago. And the stories that I've seen where God miraculously came and changed people's lives, the same God is going to change our lives during this corona thing. And what we've got to do, though, is we've got to do it God's way. We can't come up with our own plans and manipulate him. Christianity is when we humble ourselves and come to him. And so that's what I want to talk just a few minutes about. And what I thought I would do today is just simply bring us all back to when did all these storms begin? You know, God, they say he's God of the storms and he's God over the victories. But the first storm that came upon this earth was not anything God really intended. He desired from Adam and Eve and all of those he created to have perfect peace with him all the time. But he gave us choice because God, and y'all get this, when it hit me, this overwhelmed me. The fact that God made me, he made you for one reason, to be with him. That's the number one purpose. Each one of you are listening today. This each one, you're alive on this earth today. Several of you should have been killed in wrecks through disease. My wife just overcame third stage aggressive breast cancer. We've all had these trials and tribulations, but it all comes down to this. God created you and I to be with him, and he created Adam and Eve to be with him, and he loved them so much that every day in the cool of the day, and I believe it was first thing in the morning because that's usually the coolest part of the day. A lot of theologians teach it's in the afternoon, but I personally believe God, Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, he's the Son of God, and he wasn't Jesus at the time, but he was God's Son, the Word, would come to Adam and Eve every morning and give them a Bible lesson, give them some instructions on to the truth of who he is, what he wanted them to do, and they would meet with him. And then he only gave them one rule, not 500 or 600 rules like the Pharisees have for religion. He gave them one rule. Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It could have been anything, but that was just the one rule. And then he said, and if you do, you're going to die. And what he meant, die, there are two words there for death, die spiritually and then die physically. And the moment that Eve was deceived, Adam just rebelled. And always remember that. We inherited all babies inherit the sin nature of our fathers because that's a rebellious nature. And if you've ever had a kid or babysat a 1 or 2 year old, you know you don't have to teach them to be bad. They're going to grab other people's fire trucks and toys. We don't have to teach them to be bad. What we have to do is instruct them how to be good. So we're born with a sin nature. And sad, I wish I could say when we got saved, when we received Christ, that the sin nature disappeared. Nope. But we, for the first moment in our lives, from the time we get saved until we die, we daily fight a battle with our sin nature. And the only thing more powerful than this sinful, rebellious nature against God and his ways is his word, Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that 2,000 years ago, God's word, the written word, the spoken word, became flesh. God's word, his son, took on a face. The love letter became a lover, became a man. He came here and said, now I want to show you what God looks like. And there was Jesus. And again, only the religious people, the people trying to be good enough, they didn't want to just receive Christ and receive his love and forgiveness. They wanted to work their way. And I'm thankful that about 12 years old, I finally figured out I couldn't work my way to God, and I finally just received his work, Jesus Christ. And so, anyway, Adam and Eve, back in the garden, everything was going good. We don't know how long there was no problem. But once they disobeyed God, again, Satan, and he's doing it today, he can't overpower God because God's more powerful. But he tricks, he deceives, he fools God's people. And he fooled Eve, and Eve ate of the fruit. And that moment, she died spiritually. She instantly had a spiritual death. And then what did she do? She didn't go to Adam and tell Adam, who was standing, by the way, he was standing right there with her. Read Genesis 3. He was there with the woman when she was deceived, and she decided that she could find life outside of God, a better life, just like I was trying to do, in fact, still do sometimes, try to find a better life outside of God's word. She died, and then she didn't go to Adam and said, "Hey, Adam, I'm in trouble. You need to stay away from me." No, she didn't probably have to convince Adam at all. I believe what happened, I believe they both were coated in a glorious light, and when she ate of the fruit of the knowledge of the fruit, she died spiritually, and instantly the light that covered her body disappeared, and there Adam sat and saw her body for the very first time, and he said to himself, I believe that I'm going to take Eve. I've never seen God. He didn't see God. They heard God, but they never saw God. And Adam, I believe what he did, he just said, I'm going to take what I can see about life, and I'm going to go with Eve. And when he did that, he died. Now, here is the whole picture. When Adam and Eve died spiritually, they still were living physically. What did they do? Did they run back to God? No. They did what religion causes all people to do, what rebellion causes all man to do, what deceit causes us to do. Adam and Eve ran from God and did what? Covered up. They covered up with fig leaves. They covered up with the closest, I believe, tree and leaf that they had to them. And then when God, who always comes looking, God came looking for me. He's looking for you. When God came looking for them and said, "Where are you?" Man, Adam and Eve said, "Oh my gosh, we've been caught in our sin," and they covered up. And God basically told them, "Your covering is not going to do." And people, religion is simply man trying to cover his sin, running from God and then covering our sin, whereas Christianity is God covering man. And what did God do? God took an innocent animal. We don't know what the animal was, but it probably was a sheep. Took an innocent animal, slayed him, and covered them with their animal skins. And that is the picture of what Christ came and did. The perfect lamb came over 2,000 years ago and covered us finally. There's no more altars. We can talk to God. We don't have to go to an altar to confess sin. We don't have to go to the final sacrifice that's been made. All we've got to do is receive God's offering, the final perfect lamb, Jesus Christ. That was the final sin sacrifice. And here in this coronavirus mess, and again, World War II was like World War I. There's been pandemics throughout the history, and there will be more. It's going to get a lot worse. According to God's love letter, the Bible, things are going to get a lot worse before they get better. So what we got to make sure we do is each one of you have made sure that you have not just received a religious plan, the deceit of Satan. That's Satan's greatest tool. To keep pornography and drunkenness and drug addiction, that doesn't keep people away from God. People come running to God. What keeps people away from God is a cheap substitute. It's called religion. That's trying to get to God man's way. And that's Satan's great, that's the ace of spades in his whole deck. And in the game of life, let's make sure that we haven't just followed some man's plan to hook up and get back with God. No, we got to do it. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man, no person, no soul will and can come to God except through me." And what was he? He was the final sacrifice. We have to receive what he did. We can't get to the rest of the arrows in God's quiver. And God's got a lot of arrows in his quiver for you and I during these times. But you can't get to the arrows until you come to the warrior who defeated death. See, God, 2,000 years ago, defeated death. It didn't mean he took it out of the ring, but he defeated it. Death is now a whipped puppy. Now, the other thing God hated beside death is religion. God hates death. God hates religion. And who was it that killed God's son? Ha! Religious people. The religious leaders killed God, but God outsmarted them. And I love it. God tricked them. He tricked those that hated him. He actually, God used death to defeat death. God died. Jesus, the Son of God, died. And in dying, boom, he defeated death. And he's made life, eternal life, open to you and I. And what do? You either receive it or reject it. And people, all my life, because of, I think, a lot of sincere, dedicated youth pastors and missionaries, I heard people saying, well, you got to ask God to come into your life. You got to ask God to forgive you. Hey, people, the Bible said Jesus Christ died for our sin 2,000 years ago, our past sin, our present sin, and our future sin. Sins on the cross were defeated. Forgiveness happened. But now we've got to do the same thing we do with love. When someone loves us, we either receive it or reject it. And if you haven't received God's love, if you haven't received his forgiveness, you have rejected it. And religion is kind of a real mild form of saying, hey, I heard what you did. I believe Jesus did this. Now, but I'm going to still try to kind of throw my little two cent in the thing. Religion is actually, I heard an old preacher from Texas, by the way, said this. He said, religion is man trying to get outside of God's jet plane and push. You can't get outside and push a jet plane to hell. God says you either receive everything from me or you receive nothing. And so during this corona, I just pray that you and I can let people see Jesus, not being good and doing good. And we, again, we need to do good and be good, and we will be when we focus on him. I pray they can see God's unmerited favor, which is Christianity, Christ, in us. And what did Jesus do? Jesus came, and what did he do? He loved the sinner. Y'all, Christianity, which is a relationship with God. There's a difference between a relationship and religion with God. Relationship is receiving the person, relative. God's son is his relative. Relationship comes through receiving a relationship through what he said and did, not through what we can do or become. So I tell people in my prison ministry, I was in the prison ministry over 30 years, I tell people that religion is trying to, again, get to God man's way. And God says, no, you're going to come to me one way, and that is through Christ. So in this coronavirus situation, every day, I just pray that you and I can get up and do what God says. God says, I created you to be with you. Let's go meet with him every morning. Get up, whether you get up at 11 in the morning or 5 in the morning, or probably like JJ at 2 in the morning. Get up and start your day by communicating with God first, the creator of the day. He's your savior. He's the creator. He's the creator of the day. I think the winning plan during this corona thing is to get up and communicate with God through his word, Jesus Christ. So that's my challenge to you, and I'm going to just real quick, for those of you who have just been deceived by religion, by good works or whatever, you can become saved right now. Very simply, a lot simpler probably than you've ever heard. You basically receive what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He took care of your sins, past, present, and future, and by faith you receive that, or by faith you reject that. And if you receive by faith Jesus Christ as your Savior, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then you become his child. And remember in 2 Chronicles 7:14, we'll end here, God says, when things come, and he says, I can cause pestilences, I can cause economic failure. He says, but when my people, not unbelievers, when my people who are called by my name, Christ is his name, Christians, when Christians humble themselves, come and pray to me, then I will hear and I will come and I will straighten out their situation. Now, y'all, he's coming back. The first time he came and died, next time he's coming back to kill. He's going to straighten it out. But he can straighten you and I out on a daily basis by us coming and meeting with him and just getting to know him. Take time to make time to be with the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we just want to end this short session. Oh, I love talking about you because you're the only one that changed me. Religion didn't change me. My wife didn't change me. I saw the change in her. But, Father, We change from the inside out as we take in your word on a daily basis, and then we go out and enjoy letting others see Jesus in us. And I just pray that if anyone out there has never done that, never just by faith received Christ as Savior, they will do it right now. And the rest of us, Lord, what we need to do is just confess that we daily need you and come to you and hook up with you every day. Thank you for blessing this time of fellowship with you. I pray now that your spirit will send us out and our lives will tell others about you. And I just pray that you'll continue to bless JJ, his business, his family, and all those that work with him and affiliated with him, as you bless me and my wife. You love to bless your obedient children. Lord, help us be more obedient. We pray in Jesus' most beautiful name. Amen. I love you guys.
Amen, Bobby. Thanks for thanks for the message today. You know, just reminding us of God's love, reminding us of what Jesus did for us. And I've never thought about the Adam and Eve story the way you did, about basically that the cover was removed from them and then Jesus put the cover back on. I've never thought about it that way. But thank you for sharing this morning, folks. So as you can tell from Bobby's accent, he is from South Georgia.
Real South, out in the country, South Georgia.
And he is a diehard Georgia Bulldogs fan.
I love sports, but I finally realized, JJ, many years ago that I was putting too much emphasis on winning. Now I just put my emphasis on enjoy playing the game, watching the game, and guess what? We win the final game. We don't score. He scores the final touchdown, and that's what I celebrate now when I watch football.
Amen. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Let's do it again.
We'll do it again. We'll all be together again tomorrow morning at 10. So have a great day, everybody.
Hey, thanks. Love you guys. See you,
JJ.
Bye-bye.
Bye.